Thank you. The recording has started and all lines are open. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Sam. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone on today's lock call on Thursday the 10th of May. We have John Berryhill, Luke Sofer, Laurie Anderson, Randy Ferguson, Faisal Shah, Brian Beckham, Sherry Falco, Alan Greenberg, Gabriela Sluck. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Margie Milam, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Apologies noted today from Michaela Nalon, Matt Schneller, Hago Defala, Barbara Knight, David Maher, Andriy Pazyuk. And if I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. And I'm taking the chair today, replacing Michaela, who couldn't be with us. First of all, any changes to the agenda? It's up in the upper right-hand corner of the Adobe Connect. In the absence of anyone yelling or putting their hand up, I'm assuming the agenda will be okay as posted. All right, the first item is to confirm the chair and vice chair. That's, I guess, technically, Marika, that's not confirmation, but this group confirming the recommendation for chair and vice chair to the GNSO Council. Is that correct?
Yes, this is Marika. This is just to confirm. I mean, we didn't get any other nominations or objections on the mailing list to the nomination of Michaela as a chair and as yourself as the vice chair. So this would be a formal confirmation by the working group that, you know, they accept the working group leadership, and following that, Joy as a council liaison will communicate that to the GNSO Council for confirmation.
Okay. And again, not hearing anything on the list, and if anyone has anything to say quickly, we'll open the floor. In the absence of that, we'll pass on to Joy that request to name myself and Michaela as vice chair and chair, respectively. All right. The next item is the review, discuss outreach questions to registrars and registries. Do we have that on a form that can be posted on Adobe Connect?
Yes, this is Marika. So I can either just pull up the document and we can look at it, but I can also share my screen if people want to actually work on the questions, and, you know, I can then show my word screen so people can, you know, see what is being changed. I don't know what you prefer.
The list is dense enough as it is right now that I don't think we could productively start to try to work on it and get very far. And since it just came in a very short time ago, my inclination is to talk a little bit about it in general, if people have comments, and then defer to the list for specific suggestions, changes, comments, thoughts.
Okay, I have put it up as a PDF in the Adobe Connect room. Alan, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. What I see is the charter in there, not the... I see. Okay. Sorry. But that's not the list that John sent out, Matt sent out this morning.
This is Ricky. So what I did, because I basically added those at the end, the questions I circulated this document to the list as well, because I put them in the format of a template that we've used as well for previous working groups.
So
to have an introduction to explain, you know, what this is all about, assuming as well that the working group will be asking input on the charter question itself. And then I've just copied and pasted the questions that Matt sent, the one section for the registrar stakeholder group and the second section for UDRP service providers. And I've just numbered them so it's easier to refer to.
When I started talking, only about the top third of the document had shown up at my screen, which is why I said it wasn't there. Okay, now I see all the rest of the questions have now shown up also. I didn't realize we have time lags like that in a particular screen on Adobe. Okay. Has anyone had a chance to look at these? I have a couple of thoughts, again, not having even read all the words, but I see in the middle of the questions on questions to the registrar of when a domain name is locked pursuant to a UDRP, does the lock prevent transfer to another registrar. And I would have thought those are not issues that we need opinions from registrars on, but those are actual characteristics that are controlled by the registry at that point. Am I incorrect in that? Does anyone have any understanding?
The registry has no knowledge of a UDRP proceeding.
No, but it's saying when a name is locked. And I'm presuming, is that a registrar lock purely, or is that a registry lock, defined lock?
This is Lori. When the domain is placed on registrar lock, it's a registrar lock, not the registry. If the registry is notified, they do put it on their own lock. And then if the registrar unlocks it, then the registry, we have to go to the registry to get it unlocked in order to move it.
Okay, so it's possible when a registrar locks it, they may lock it in one of several different ways. So it is something that may vary based on the registrar then. Okay. Does anyone want to go in any further into these questions? Now, again, without a lot of time to really read them and think about them, I'm not sure we can productively use this time, but if anyone wants to talk about them, then show your hand. Yep, Brian?
Hi, yeah, this is Brian. I think probably, and I think this comes out a bit in some of the subsequent questions that Matt circulated, but it might be that the definition of what's actually meant by a lock would help to clarify some of the subsequent questions. So in other words, there's a series of questions that it seems presuppose a definition is already understood as to what the lock means, but maybe just going back a step, if we all understand what that's intended to cover, that might help answer some of the questions.
Well, I guess that generates a question for me of, are we trying to define the lock, or at this stage should we be asking registrars what different kinds of locks they may be using? Because each of the locks may have different implications. And currently, no one has ever really defined, in terms of this PDP, what lock we're talking about, I don't believe.
If you can hold off a day or 2 days, I might
have... So, someone is talking, but only very, very faintly. Brian, was that you?
No, that wasn't.
Oh, okay.
This is Gabriela.
Yes, go ahead.
Gabriela Clark. Yeah, I'm not sure who talked before, but I wanted to say that I agree with the concern, because if, for example, we have the first question there for the registrar stakeholder group, and it says, do you lock domain names during UDRP proceedings? So if we are not telling them what do we understand or what is understandable by lock, then the question might have different answers. That's my concern.
But isn't the issue that different registrars may each lock the name, but that lock has different characteristics? So I'm not sure. I'm not sure either. If a lock is purely a registrar function, then it may impact any change to the domain name, or may impact only certain ones.
So maybe it's how do you lock a domain name?
I would think that we need to find out what the options are, or what options registrars use, because until we know what they're currently doing, we don't even know what the repertoire of different locks is. At least I certainly don't. So I think that's certainly one of the overriding points of, if we cannot define what lock we're talking about, we need to ask. I suspect the latter is preferable at this stage, but I'm not sure.
This is Lauren.
Yeah, go ahead.
It would be possible. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say that in our case, and in the registrar's cases that we are aware of, there are no changes allowed, no updates to the WHOIS, no transfers, no no updates to the DNS. When the domain's locked, there's just no changes allowed whatsoever.
Allowed by the registrant.
By anybody.
Hi, this is Sherry. I think that actually, though, if there's privacy, often the registrar... Oh, sorry. I have to bring in new format. I apologize. I'll raise my hand.
So this is Gabby again, Gabriela. So maybe it would be interesting to add the question, what do you understand by locking a domain name, or how do you lock a domain name?
Yeah, I think we need something like that, and it might vary based on the different and the different answers. They could conceivably use different locks, different types of locks. Sherry?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that there are obviously some subsections, as you're hinting, to different types of locks. And it's been a common practice for certain registrars, I think, to lift the privacy at that point if the registrant's name gets locked at the registrar level. But I don't know that that's universal. So typically it might be a complete lock, so no transfer, no updates. There may be some immediate lifting of the privacy here. Or the privacy protection, which actually does with a certain kind of movement within that lock universe. So I don't know if that's a universal practice, but it is a common practice with certain registrars.
Victoria?
I would just say that I came across some material on this during my researches this morning, and it seems that based on some of the existing work that's been done, there are indeed different kinds of locks, and that that was one of the issues for standardization. So I would suggest that we could probably pull that out of the work product, the considerable work product that there already is on this topic. Perhaps, I think it's in one of those reports talking about, it's a recommendation 8 or 9, one of those reports or reports leading up to that. It seems that there are formal locks and there are informal locks, and so I think that there is an issue there.
Marika, are you familiar with what Victoria is talking about or where she's pointing to?
This is Marika. I might be referencing a document that was developed by the IRTB working group and where the different status values in relation to who is are defined, and those include as well various lock statuses. You give me a second, I'll pull it up and I'll compose the link in the Adobe Connect.
Yeah, I'm not sure we need it now, but if we have an existing list of types of locks, it probably would be something good that we could present to begin with, and then they can identify, yes, we're using lock type A or lock type B, or say, no, the lock we're using in a particular instance is different from those. So if we had that predefined list of known locks, then that would probably be part of the preamble to the questionnaire then. Sherry, is your hand up again?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, there are certain sort of back-end defined things, at least from registry providers, which may or may not interact with registrars, but things like server transfer prohibited, server delete prohibited, those are just examples of phrases that have specific meanings. And so I think you're right. I don't know that, I mean, there might be a universal concept called server A or server B, or we might aspire to create one at a registrar level. But I do know there are some specific language index definitions that registry back-end providers use. So we could take from that pre-existing established definition.
But in general, those are locks that they initiate based on some circumstance, not that the registrar initiates, I think.
Right.
I may be
but
wrong.
But they, that, no, yeah, who knows.
I mean, in some cases, a registrar doing something, deleting a domain name, causes the registry to put a certain lock on it. But it's not necessarily something they explicitly do. So that's yet another set of locks, but not ones initiated by registrars, I think. There may be some exceptions to that.
Okay.
We may also want to list those just for clarity so people don't get them confused, though.
Yeah.
Anything else? So we have a suggestion essentially to rephrase these that when we're asking about locks, we also ask about type of lock, but try to give them some guidance ahead of time for what kind of answers we're looking for, and list as options, selection options, the kinds of locks we know about. Marika, is that something you feel you could do to rework this, or do we need more discussion on it first?
Sorry, Alan, I was busy finding link. What would you like me to do?
No, I was saying, do we have enough? I'm not sure we want to do it at this point, but do you have enough information right now? What I said was we would change this document to when we ask about do you lock, also ask which kind of lock, and in the preamble list the kinds of locks that we already know about, the registry ones, registry-initiated ones, and the various types of registrar-initiated ones that we're cognizant of. And so that they, if they're initiating a lock that's identical to one of our known types, they could simply say A, B, C, D, or whatever. And if not, then they would be asked to explain exactly what they are locking. And I'm saying, at the point when we want to rework this and get it closer, does that give you enough to go on?
It doesn't, Rick. That's fine. I can add that, and probably need to look to some of the registrar and registry participants to make sure that we have all the relevant locks mentioned there. But I can definitely kick that off.
Yeah, and the fact that we're now asking that question may, in fact, change the structure of some of the questions. It may be that I see in the middle of the registrar ones is a whole bunch of lists of is the name locked, or when the name is locked, does it prevent X, does it prevent Y? And so that may eliminate the need for those questions. Those questions presume there is only one type of lock that a registrar will do during a UDRP, and that may not be the case. So, okay, I'm happy that we know what the next step is to refine these questions. Is there anything else anyone feels we want to talk about right now, or go on to the next item? We are on a tight schedule today. The GNSO meeting immediately following this meeting, and some of us would like to get off early to prepare for that meeting. I'm sure Marika is one of those. All right.
This is Marika. I do have one question, because one thing the working group might want to consider as well, if there are any other groups, any other GNSO stakeholder groups or constituencies or other parts of the ICANN community or outside of there that should be included, once we finalize this template, or if there are any specific questions, for example, that should go to any of the other parties, to make sure that we cover everyone.
Well, certainly, if one wanted to go to the intellectual property owners or IPC, Wouldn't we want to go to them with the results of the registrar, of the answers from the registrars and service providers, and ask them, do you believe there's anything else needed? I'm not sure we'd want to ask them at this level. Comments? None. I guess once we formulate it, we can then decide who do we send it to. Okay. Review of the public comment form draft. And we're getting that on the screen.
And this is Rika. While this is coming up, just to mention one thing I didn't change yet, and something we did discuss at the last call, is to number the charter questions, because as some pointed out, we have a 4A and 4B that are closely linked, so I didn't make that change yet, but I have noted it, and I'll do that for the next revision.
Yeah, I think anything that people may be referring to, we should do numbers instead of bullets. These issues are confusing enough as it is. We may as well make it a little bit clearer. Has anyone had a chance to look over this and have any comments? Do we need more time, or do we just say okay with one more pass prior to when we actually start the comment period? We do need to decide when we start it. Brian.
Hi, this is Brian. Just one thought is, going back to the question of the definition of lock, it might be relevant whether whoever looks at that, Marika or whomever else, the interplay, for example, of paragraph 8 of the actual UDRP itself and paragraph 2E of the rules. So there's maybe just something to bear in mind in terms of getting to some sort of a definition as to what we're meaning when we're referring to lock for UDRP purposes. And then sort of a follow-up question is whether, with respect to the questions which are in the charter, whether the discussion that emerged from the question which Matt has circulated might inform those charter questions, so whether the charter question should be sort of put on hold until we have some more background information to make sure that we're getting all of the questions on the table that are relevant to be asking.
Brian, a question. Are you implying that we shouldn't do the public comment period until we get the responses from the registrars and UDRP providers?
That's a good question. I suppose, in a sense, it's always going to be a bit of a chicken and egg scenario. So I suppose, certainly it's probably not necessary to hold up starting some sort of public comment cycle to wait until all of the questions that have been circulated this morning or last night have been answered, but it's something to think about in terms of whether we should all kind of go offline and at least think a little bit about whether those questions might help to further inform some of the charter questions. So there might be a charter question that's not there that ought to be, or there might be one that would already be answered via the replies from the registrars or the providers. So it's like I say, I'm not suggesting that it's a sort of a necessary logical chain of events, but just something for us to maybe think about.
Yeah, it certainly would be easier to frame the questions that we're asking the public if we knew what we meant by lock. Because if we don't know, then they're likely to have different views of it as well. And then we may have problems summarizing their answers if indeed they're answering different questions. Marika, do you want to go before Victoria?
I just want to point of clarification, because, of course, nothing prevents the working group from initiating additional public comment periods at a later date. So, it doesn't mean if we launch this one now and we get new input based on what registrars or UDRP providers, information they give us, and there's a need to add additional questions, there's nothing preventing the working group to, initiate a new public comment forum or, another means of getting public input. So it's not that this is the only opportunity to do so. So just to clarify that.
Other than it's another 2-month delay.
Right.
Victoria?
Yeah, I suppose, maybe I'm making an obvious point given my emails already, but, my own feeling having, only was just quickly looking around for stuff, not really closely reading it, but my own feeling is that there is almost nothing that hasn't been looked at on this topic, that hasn't been defined, that hasn't been discussed, hasn't gone out to public comment, that hasn't, had constituency input, that hasn't had UDRP provider input. So, I would just wonder if we could somehow rationalize and draw from what's been done and then figure out, where we'd like to expand and, just so that we make the best use of our time and energy. And as I say, I think that very little is unreviewed here already. So I just wonder if, I don't know how we might do it, but there might be some, and I'd be happy to help having raised the point. Maybe we can rationalize some of the work that's gone before, and I think that could inform both questions and order and so forth.
Okay, Sherry?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I agree with that sentiment. I think it's
it's wise, and although there may not be anything prohibiting us from going out a few different times, I think just for the sake of efficiency and thoroughness, we might just want to, you know, do a really thorough overview of where things have already been, where we are, what the open questions are, clearly define those, and then present them from a knowing place as opposed to a continuing inquiry that might be already known.
All right. I guess I'm going to defer to Marika. I admit I'm a newbie here, and I haven't read all of the past reports in detail. I had the impression, though, that although there's been a lot of discussion of the overall concept, there has not been a lot of definition and formalization of what people are doing and what the options are. Marika?
Yes, this is Morgan, and that's exactly right. And, you know, most of the documents that Victoria quoted in her email all relate to the work that was done in relation to the inter-transfer policy discussions. So those questions really focused on, you know, when can a domain name be locked, when should it be unlocked in the context of transfers. It didn't address, you know, questions on, you know, what does a lock mean. It didn't address questions of, you know, how does it impact the UDRP. And maybe to try to explain how, you know, this issue did come up in the context of those discussions. On one of the public comment periods, there was a submission received from WIPO. And, you know, maybe to paraphrase, basically they said, like, look, as you seem to be looking at the issue of locking, would you also consider looking at locking of in the context of UDRP proceedings? The IRTP working group looked at that issue and said, well, you know, we do see that there's an issue, but we don't consider that part of the inter-registrar transfer policy, which is what we are looking at. But that's why we're recommending that, you know, we think this is important, but not in the context of the IRTP, but we recommend to the GNSO Council that if and or when a review of the UDRP takes place, then this issue is taken up and reviewed in detail. And so when the review of the UDRP started with the issue report, this was an issue that was covered in a whole bunch of other items that was raised, and as well some comments were received as a result of that on this specific issue, but it wasn't the only issue that was being considered. But when the council reviewed that final issue report, they said, well, you know, the overall review we want to put off to a later date together with a review of all the other rights protection mechanisms. But on this specific issue of the locking subject to UDRP proceedings, as this was also mentioned in one of the other working groups, we want to have a specific PDP on that issue only. So I think, you know, also as these charter questions, you know, as far as I'm aware, these specific questions haven't been raised before. Public comment hasn't been received on those. I'm not really sure, you know, that there is duplication. As I said, you know, as the IRTP really looked at locking from a very different angle.
As the person who wrote most of those documents, I suspect you have an accurate view of it. We have Victoria and Sherry. Are those new hands or old?
Oh, sorry, mine is old. This is Sherry. Mine is old.
Oh, mine's old.
Okay. Well, if that's where we stand, then I think going forward, from my point of view, it sounds like having an idea of what registrars are currently doing would give us a better handle on being able to phrase the questions for the public comment period. Do we believe there are other inputs we're likely to get in the public comment period that are the chicken and egg in the other direction? That is, we'll know better what to ask registrars if we do the public comment period first, or do them in parallel. I suspect there's more to be gained by delaying the public comment, which also implies no open session in Prague, than perhaps just a very brief review of what the problem is. Any thoughts? Is there any compelling reason to do a public comment period quickly? I guess is the question.
This
Marika, we were certainly asked to do a public comment period, but do you believe is there a compelling reason to do it before the registrar review?
Doesn't make a, it says a first step public input, and in my view, you know, asking registrars and UDP providers is also part of that step of, you know, requesting input. So personally, I don't see any major issues with, you know, doing it sequentially.
Sequentially of registrars and then the public comment.
Right.
Okay. That seems to make sense to me. I don't. Let's put it to the list, and I'll put out a specific question on the issue after this meeting. Let me just make a note about that, and we can make a formal decision at our next meeting. But my inclination at this point is to say the facts point to doing the registrars first, so we're better informed of what we're talking about before we ask the public comment. I'm reluctant to do two public comment periods, you know, in a row. That doesn't usually get well received by people commenting when there's no real output from the previous comment. But let's put it at the list and see what people think. All right. Next item on the agenda was continued discussion on approach and proposed work plan, which I think we have just done, and include plans for possible meeting in Prague. Do we have, Marika, have we done a brief survey of how many of the working group members will be in Prague?
This is Marika. No, we haven't done that yet.
Let's do that between this meeting and the next to get a feeling for it. I don't think this is a topic of enough stirring interest in the general public, in the non-registrar public, to make a public meeting at this point to just give an overview of what the issue is. I don't think it's going to resound with a lot of people other than people who are actively involved in one side of the UDRP or another. Are there other people who feel strongly about that, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just something, you know, as the meeting has been requested, you know, the working group can also consider, of course, if there are sufficient people there to consider them just as a working group meeting. So just if, even if you don't want a public meeting, you know, if there are sufficient working group members in Prague, another opportunity would be just to use that time as a working group meeting.
Yeah, that's why I asked for a survey of who's going to be there. So at this point, I don't think there's a compelling reason to have a public meeting. I don't think we have a lot new to say, and I'm not convinced that this subject is going to be of great interest to attract a huge crowd of people, other than registrars and UDRP people, I think. Maybe an occasional registry. So, again, I'll put the question to the list to make sure we catch people that are not on the call today. But my inclination is to say we probably don't need an open meeting. And a working group meeting, I think, would be a good idea face-to-face if we have enough people there. No nays, no hands up at all. Next step and next meeting is, I presume, we're going to meet next week. I presume the time is still acceptable. I don't know what that thing is that you put up, Marika. It's far too small for me to read.
It doesn't regard to put up. It's what we started working on at the first meeting is a mind map to try to map out, you know, the different steps we want to take in addressing the outreach questions, the charter questions, and other issues. So I just started adding there a bit what we discussed today to start off.
Okay.
You know, first asking. I think you can actually turn into a full screen. I can as well try to enhance it here.
Ah, there's a full screen button at the top, I see. It doesn't quite go full screen, but it goes full window. Close enough. Is that on the wiki, by the way?
Yes, it's in a PDF format on the wiki.
Okay.
So basically in the second section, it captures a bit some of the discussion points we had in previous meetings, and the idea is to, you know, this is a bit in combination with the work plan to keep a bit track on the things we said we wanted to do or wanted to explore, and to make sure that we've, you know, actually done them as well when we,
okay,
you know, look back.
That's a new one to me, so I haven't looked at it at all yet.
It's actually something that Mikey has been introducing in some of the other working groups, and it has been a very useful tool in first of all, outlining the different steps or the approach a working group wants to take in tackling some of these issues, and then as well looking back, making sure that all the bases were covered. So I've been trying as well to see if we can make it work here, but it has been very valuable in some of the other groups.
Okay, that's good. All right, I wanted to end by 45 minutes after the hour, and we're getting close to that right now. And unless I see any other, I don't know how to go out of full. Ah, there we are, out of full screen. Unless there's anyone else that wants to raise any issues right now, I think we're going to have a number of questions raised on the list, which I will put out, and we'll do a survey of who's going to be in Prague, and hopefully we'll be in a position to make some formal decisions on all of these issues at the next meeting next Monday. Or next Thursday, rather. Yes, Brian.
Hi, this is Brian. I just wanted to ask a question, which actually an email, which was just sent up the list by John Berryhill raised, which was, I understand Matt put these questions together quickly, and they were for the group to really give feedback on. But on a very quick read-through of the questions that were intended to be directed at the providers, there was one which, like the question that John has raised from the registrar perspective, triggered, to my recollection, the EDDRP. So I wonder if I'm just trying to understand in terms of the intent for next steps for these list of questions, whether these are something that will be refined by the group during subsequent calls or over email, because I think, at least a rough skim of the questions that were intended to be directed to the provider, I can say that the vast majority of those are, quite frankly, information that's simply not in the purview of the provider. So I suspect that might also be the case for the questions that are intended to be directed at the registrar. So whether those questions were refined on the list by the participants in this group that were coming from the registrar perspective, or whether that would happen informally with registrars who are not part of the group. Just a question I wanted to raise in terms of how that would relate to the next steps in terms of actually sending these questions out to registrars for specific feedback.
Well, subject to the what we discussed earlier of including in the questions what kind of locks do you use and giving a preamble saying which locks we know about ahead of time, I think other changes to these questions are what we want to solicit over the next week or so for on email. So those kind of thoughts, I think, are something you should be putting into the mailing list, and hopefully we can come to a decision, then at least have more thoughts from other people at our next meeting.
Right. In other words,
these questions came out this morning. I don't think anyone's read them in any depth at this point. And
right. No. And exactly. And my question was really just aimed at getting to the idea that we're actually asking the right questions. That's all.
That's the whole purpose. This is the first cut from one person, and now we need the rest of the group to speak up and either agree that these are a great set of questions or how do they need to be changed. So the bottom line is we want something useful coming out of them so that when we get the answers, we can do something. You're correct that sometimes you ask the wrong questions and you're no further ahead when you get the answers, and we hope that will not be the issue here. So I don't think there's much we can do on the call today, but I am looking for input over the next week, so that when we come together again, we can make some suggestions. Anything else before we adjourn? Then I thank you for your participation, and we'll see you a week from today, and look for you on the mailing list. Bye, all.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye, have a great one. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.